Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about Life Church, check out the website, lifechurchhome.com.
Hey, I am so glad you're here because Pastor Brian Houston is going to be bringing the word. Brian is just a great friend of Charlotte and I, and we've been so inspired by his life and leadership with what him and Bobby have built through the Hillsong Church. It's just been phenomenal to see them explode and grow around the globe. So Brian Houston has got an amazing message that I know is going to impact your life. Let's turn it over to Pastor Brian.
Spiritually alive. That's the name of this message. Spiritually alive. Are you spiritually alive? Or are you staying alive? Oh, 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 staying alive, staying alive. Oh, 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 staying alive. I like your song better. Everywhere I go. You know, sometimes as believers, we're staying alive. You can detect a spiritual pulse, but you're hardly pulsating with life. I want to talk about what it is to be spiritually alive. I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 in the message. And this is what it says. These are the verses that in the King James or in the New King or in the New Living is, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. So listen to it in the message. That's why we have the scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface. I love this line. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? And it's the same with God. Except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report of the gifts of life and salvation that he's giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Here it is. Look at this, verse 15. Spiritually alive. Everybody say, spiritually alive. Spiritually. Come on, Leeds. Spiritually alive. We have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. I'm not sure there's such a thing as spiritual critics. But anyway, the Bible talks about being spiritually alive. I was telling the guys during the weekend, I grew up in a church that wasn't just Pentecostal. It was Pentecostal on steroids. It was more Pentecostal than Acts chapter 2 by far. I mean, you name it, it happened in that church where I grew up as a little boy. And I remember some of the characters in that church. Everyone was brother or sister. I remember Brother Carter. Brother Carter was on the door. Brother Carter always greeted people at the door, and no one else was allowed to take Brother Carter's place on the door. That was Brother Carter. He wore a toupee. And then there was Brother Potberry. Brother Potberry was Brother Carter's brother-in-law. I remember old Brother Carter, Brother Potberry, because he was so encouraging. As a young kid, he was maybe one of the biggest encouragers in my life. Then there was Brother Cowdrey and Brother Milne, good men. There was Brother Deong. Some of you would know of his son, Paul Deong. I'm sure he's been here over the years. A great, great, great pastor from New Zealand. And then there were the women. There was Granny Diamond. Granny Diamond was the tiniest lady you have ever seen, but man, no one ever, ever, ever doubted whether Granny Diamond was in church. Because when the Holy Spirit hit Granny Diamond, she'd start to wind up like a fire engine. You'd literally hear her winding up. Ooh! like that. And so everybody knew Granny Diamond was in church. Plus, during the song, she would always start the next line during the break. So in the breath, she would be singing the next line ahead of everybody else. She'd be singing, Jesus, Jesus. And in the pause there, Jesus, Jesus, like that. So does Granny Diamond. She was a great old lady. She once had a, I don't know what, she had a heart attack on the railway station. I think I talk about it in my book, actually. And so they called the ambulance. The ambulance was coming, but she just started praising God and speaking in other tongues. And so she's praising God, speaking in other tongues. And by the time the ambulance arrived, she was standing up, apparently dancing around, and refused to get in the ambulance and walked all the way home. That was Granny Diamond. That's the story I was told. And then, Sister Wilson. Sister Wilson was a big lady, lovely lady. She always sat right over there. And Sister Wilson, you always knew when she was in church, especially if you sat on the same row, because she would get the shakes. She'd be shaking like this. And everybody else in the row, involuntarily, was shaking along with Sister Wilson like this. And then there was one lady. What was her name? No, that was Sister Wilmshurst was the shaker. Sister Wilson. Sister Wilmshurst was the lady who shook. Sister Wilson, she sat there. And every time my father would preach, he'd go up and down the aisles. And I don't know what it was, but as he passed, Sister Wilson, she'd always pass him a sweet, like a candy or a lolly. And he'd just take it, put it in his pocket, and keep preaching. It happened week after week after week after week. And so, you know, there's a lot of spiritual activity in that church. But there's also a lot of negativity. There's also a lot of backbiting. There's a lot of people who are just kind of down on life and defeated inside themselves. Because the truth is, spiritual activity doesn't always represent spiritual life. The scripture talks about being spiritually alive. I wonder what that means to you. I definitely love the idea of being spiritually alive. I said it already, that sometimes in churches and believers, you can just detect the spiritual pulse, but they're hardly pulsating with life. In Bible college, I was in Bible college 44 years ago, and I can't remember a whole lot of what I was taught, but for some reason, I never forgot this sort of analogy or metaphor. One of our lecturers talking about the Holy Spirit and using the idea of a dove. I mean, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And so a dove apparently has 9 feathers on each wing. And so he talked about on one wing, the 9 feathers being the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And on the other, the 9 fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, etc. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And so the whole point was a dove can't fly with one wing. Sometimes people are all gifts of the Spirit. They're all, other times they're all fruit of the Spirit. But even if a dove with one wing can fly, it'll be flying in circles. And so the whole point is to be spiritually alive is not just a whole lot of maybe the gifts of the Spirit and more of that, but it's not all just the fruit of the Spirit. There's a power and there's a balance to the whole thing. And spiritual life is not learned behavior. I've been going to church all my life and we learn. We learn the things you say, the things you don't say, the places you go, the places you don't go, the people you hang out with, the people you don't hang out with. We learn all of that. We learn Christianese. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We learn the lingo. So learned behavior is not spiritual life. And when God breathed life into Adam, it wasn't just physical life. God breathed spiritual life into Adam. And I believe God wants to breathe spiritual life into you and I. So listen one more time to verse 10 of those verses I read. It says, the Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. I love that idea. I love the imagery of the Holy Spirit diving into the depths of God. You know, going beneath the surface. I think in our lives, I think in church life, God wants us to dive into the depths. Somehow people think that that means becoming more intense. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have deep joy. I haven't smiled for 30 years. My joy is a fountain deep within. That's not what diving into the depths looks like. I wonder what's down there. I wonder what's down there when you dive into the depths. Of course, in Australia, If you in the water and you're thinking about what might be below you, you know what you're thinking about, don't you? What are you thinking about? You're thinking about sharks, great white sharks, big sharks. That'd be an awesome time for the keyboard player to just play the Jaws music to wake everybody up. That's what you're thinking about, sharks. There's a movie around called The Shallows, and it's about a girl called Nancy who went surfing at a deserted beach and got attacked by a shark. And she's on the surface, hanging onto a rock, wounded. Don't you think a lot of Christians are like that? When it comes to spiritual things, they're on the surface, just hanging on, wounded. A lot of Christians who got them offended, got hurt somewhere, got wounded, and with that, they're just on the surface. I believe this could be a perfect time for some people who are staying alive. Like Nancy, she was staying alive to really be spiritually alive. And when we live spiritually alive, we dive into the depths of God. I've been diving on the Great Barrier Reef. The Great Barrier Reef, of course, in Australia, it should be one of the seven wonders of the world. I got to dive there and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the marine life, the colors, the beauty, the coral, the water, I have never seen anything like it. That's what the scripture is saying, that when you dive into the depths of God, you have never seen anything like it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, here's how it says it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of people, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God's got so much more for us. If we could just understand, you've never seen anything like it. You go deeper in the things of God. It's not more intense. It's not that suddenly you'd lose your passion for life. It's exactly the opposite. You've never seen anything like it. God wants to take us deeper. I've been speaking to our church, Hillsong Church. I believe God wants to take us deeper to dive into the depths of all that God has for us. So when I think about a church that's spiritually alive, it's vibrant, it's grace-filled, it's faith-filled. I think it's a church that's youthful in spirit, generous at heart, life-giving in confession. I think it's a church that's loving in nature and inclusive in expression. I think it's a church that loves God, loves life, loves people. I think it's a church that loves all the things that Jesus loved. Jesus loved the Father. Jesus loves the world. God so loved the world. You know, Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the lost. Jesus loves the poor. If we're spiritually alive, one of the great evidences is we don't just love some of what Jesus loved. Well, you know, I love the world and I love the poor. I just don't love church. When you're spiritually alive, you love what Jesus loves. Jesus loved his church so much, the Bible says he gave his life for her. And so spiritually alive, when a person is spiritually alive, the same thing, grace-filled, faith-filled, got the kind of loving nature and beautiful, beautiful, faith-filled confession that really shows spiritual life. Spiritually alive. What a great thought that is. You can't fake spiritual life. You can't fake it. It's just something that's got a beauty to it. It's got a power to it. So I want to talk about a man called Apollos. You may have heard of Apollos in the scripture. The Bible talks about him in Acts chapter 18. The reason I want to talk about Apollos is I look at his life and I see someone who I believe shows all the fruit and evidence of being spiritually alive. So is that okay? I don't know whether you've heard about Apollos, but he was an Egyptian Jew. And he came from a place called Alexandria, which was at the mouth of the Nile River in Egypt. And in Alexandria, the Great, named after Alexander the Great, he had this grand plan of transforming Egyptian culture and mindset through Greek language and culture and thinking. And he was very successful. So Alexandria, where this Apollos came from, became a center of learning, like a university city. It was a place of great minds and great intellects. And so in actual fact, apparently, there was a university there that had a library with 400,000 volumes in it. That's way back then. 400,000. Can you imagine how many books have been written? 400,000 volumes way back there. And I'm telling you all of that because that's where Apollos came from, and he had been trained in rhetoric and in oratory, and he's described as being a powerful preacher. And so I just want to read some background to this. It's verse 24. We're talking about Apollos. We're talking about spiritual life. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and been fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, which is Corinth, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Excuse me. So Apollos. Everybody say Apollos. You know you're spiritually alive when you're flourishing in your gift. Listen to this. Apollos is described as an eloquent man. An eloquent man. The Message talks about him as a terrific speaker. Verse 24, listen to it. Acts 18, 24, a man named Apollos came to Ephesus. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt, and a terrific speaker, eloquent. That's his gift. He was a gifted speaker. He was trained, as I mentioned, in Alexandria. So a very, very gifted speaker, but he was using his gift to the glory of God. This room is filled with giftings. Maybe your gift is not public speaking. Maybe your gift is very different. There's people here, your gift is literally making money. Business, God's graced you for it. There's other people here and you're gifting, maybe like some of these wonderful people and the gifts of creativity that they have. Your gift may be something as simple but powerful as hospitality. Your gift may be encouraging. I mean, there are just a multitude of different gifts. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it very clear, more than one, that each one of us have gifts. You have gifts in your life. We tend to understate the gifting in our own life. Well, I'm not really that gifted, and overstate the gifting in someone else's life. But you know you're spiritually alive when you know that gift was given you by God and you're using it for the glory of God. When someone is spiritually alive, they realize God has given them this gift so that they can honor King Jesus and live a life bigger than themselves. When they start waning in spiritual life, all of a sudden it becomes more about themselves. So a business person, when they're spiritually alive, they understand that God's graced them with this gift. The gift to raise finance, the gift perhaps to make money, the gift to be entrepreneurial. And they realize this is bigger than me. They're spiritually alive, so they make their gift about spiritual issues and spiritual things. They make it about God. But as soon as we get selfish with it, it becomes all about me. Then it's a great sign that you may be staying alive. You're here. But are you spiritually alive? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as each one has received a gift. Each one, everyone, you've got gifts in your life. You need to begin to recognize it and realize it. And God's not schizophrenic. He didn't make you one way to use you a different way. He gave you that gift so that you could use it to honor him and to serve him. Like my friend Tim Timmons, we're old friends. We've known each other 3 days now. Everywhere I go. Ooh, and you know, that's going to stick with me. It's going to stick with me to the point that it's irritating. You realize that, don't you? On that road, As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold. It's talking about the gifts of God, the manifold grace of God. The words gift and grace from the original are interchangeable. In other words, God graces us with gifts. And the Bible talks about manifold gifts, manifold, many folds, many colors, many different. That's what manifold means. In other words, there's a multitude of gifting in this church. And if we just understand that we can use that to glorify God, then our lives can reflect spiritual life. Are you using the gifting God's given you to serve him? He didn't give you those gifts just to lay them down. He gave them you those gifts so you could use them to honor God. And I want to encourage you to do so. I got an old message. It was called, using what's in your hand to fulfill what's in your heart. What's in your hand is what God's gifted you with. It's maybe the finance you have. It may be the opportunity you have. That's what's in your hand. What's in your heart is God-given purpose. And when people use what's in their hand, their business, their home, their gifting, whatever it is, they use it to fulfill what's in their heart, then they're living like someone who's spiritually alive. You are spiritually alive when you are flourishing in your gift. Let's use our gift, whatever it is, to bring glory to God and understand that God made me this way so that I can make a difference beyond myself. Can I hear any amens in the house? So number two, you are spiritually alive when you are growing in the word of the Lord. When you're growing in the word of the Lord. Some people, you may know the scripture so well. You could exegete or exposit the scripture better than most of us. Some people, they know the word so well. It's one thing to know the word, but it's a different thing to be growing in the word. Listen to this. I'm still reading about Apollos, Acts 18, verse 24. It says that not only was he powerful in his preaching of the scriptures, but Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus. Here it is. No, it isn't. Everything he knows. That's a disgrace. Look at that. I curse that in Jesus' name. Put the verse up there. It's much better looking than this. We're in the message. It's verse 24. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point. I don't know where they've gone out there. And powerful in his preaching of the scriptures. But listen to it. I'm not sure what that is. I'll just tell you what I've got here. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point. Here's the thing. So many of us can reach a point. We reach a point in the word. We reach a point in our spiritual life. What point are you at? And he is settled at that point. Because here's Apollos. He's described as mighty in the word. But it says in the message, because it's going on to talk about how Apollos would grow in the word, that he was accurate when it came to his teaching of the scriptures, and he taught them in a powerful way. He was mighty in the word, the Bible says, but up to a point. So easy to reach a point. So easy for a church to reach a point. And we kind of settle at that point. We're spiritually alive when we dive deeper. We don't just reach a point. We're committed to diving deeper into the depths of all that God planned all along, which is what the scripture is talking about, being spiritually alive. And spiritually alive, we have access into all that God intends for us. So you're spiritually alive, not only when you're using your gift to glorify God, and not only when you are growing in the word, but you're spiritually alive when you're growing in the ways of the Lord. And talking about the word of the Lord and talking about the ways of the Lord. Because the Bible makes a clear distinction here with Apollos. He was strong in the scriptures. He was mighty in the word. But in verse 25, it says he was also well educated in the way of the master. What's the difference between being strong in the word and educated in the way? You know, some people, sadly, they know the word of God. They're word clever, but they are way ignorant. In other words, yes, they could out-teach any of us, perhaps, when it comes to the scriptures. They could debate them. They could argue them. They know them. They could tell you the context. They could tell you the history. They can tell you so much. They can, and yet, when it comes to the way of the Lord, they're mean, they're negative, they're critical, they're angry. And so I think you're spiritually alive, not just when you're growing in the word of the Lord, but you're growing in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 24 makes the distinction between the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord. Verse 4 and 5. In Psalm 24, verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path." And then it goes on in verse 5, says, "Lead me in your truth, your word, and teach me." So the psalmist is saying, I want to know your word, but I also want to know your ways. And spiritually alive people, they're not just growing in the word, they're also growing in the ways of the master, which is what the Bible says about Apollos. And when a church is growing in the word, You know, you've got sound teaching and you know how to dive into the depths of the word, but you're also growing in the way, becoming more loving, becoming more grace-filled, becoming more faith-filled, only speaking words of life, being filled with encouragement, being a part of the answer, not part of the problem, like I talked about before, living in a way where we are growing in the ways of the Lord. Well, look, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old, and many of you, you've been believers for many, 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 many years, but the big question is not how long have you been saved, it's not even how well you know the word, it's how well you are living in the ways of the Master. You're filled with life, you're filled with grace, you're filled with faith, you're filled with the presence and the power of the Almighty God. Well, that's a great way to live. And so God's ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. The Bible says His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher. If we want to know His way, then we've got to start being committed to thinking His thoughts. And His ways and His thoughts are a whole lot higher, so if we can lift our thinking above some of the things that would try to keep us defeated, then by lifting our thinking, elevating our thinking, we also elevate when it comes to the ways of the Master. Listen to this, talking about God's ways, Psalm 103. Man, that clock's a liar. What are you looking at the clock for? This is intriguing. Because everyone in Leeds, they're just like this. Wow, this is incredible. Here we go, Psalm 103. I'm talking about the ways of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals, the Bible says. Who redeems. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are opposed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. And it's interesting, Israel knew God's acts. They saw what God does and did, but Moses knew His ways. Let's be spiritually alive so we're growing in the ways of the Lord. Well, you know you are spiritually alive when your passion is increasing. You know you're spiritually alive when what? Your passion is increasing. I'm still talking about Apollos. Listen to it now. As we go on in verse 25, he was well educated in the way of the Master and fiery in his enthusiasm. Apollos was fiery in his enthusiasm. In my New King James, it says he was fervent in spirit. I love being around spiritual fervency. And by spiritual fervency, I don't necessarily mean someone over their spirit dancing with a tambourine. That's fervent in some ways, but that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, you can be a relatively quiet person, but your spirit is alive. There's a fervency in spirit. There's something inside of you. There's an enthusiasm. That's how Eugene Peterson describes it, fiery in enthusiasm. That word enthusiasm, our English word comes from in theos, literally in God. And I believe when we are spiritually alive, it does bring a fervency and enthusiasm. We're the first to arrive and the last to leave. We're part of the answer, not part of the problem. Amen, because we are spiritually alive. I love being around a church that's fervent in spirit. Not even just a whole lot of noise and a whole lot of, no, but there's something about the spirit of the church. And that's what Tim tapped on when he was speaking earlier. Amen, that sets sometimes one community out from a different community. Fervent in spirit. I got a guy who works for me. He works for me in California. We've got a global office in California. And his name's Anthony. I love hanging around Anthony because he's fervent in spirit. I mean, when I'm with Anthony, he says, what a day. And then the next day, he's like, what a day. And the next day, it wouldn't matter if there was a mountain erupting right beside him and California was falling off the side of the earth. I mean, what a day. And I'm like, well, what's so good about today? He's just like, what a day. And I just love his spirit. It's a great hanging around him. When you've got a church that's fervent in spirit, I tell you right now, you don't have to advertise to get growth because people are absolutely attracted to fiery enthusiasm, to fervency of spirit when it comes to the things of God. Yes. Yes, it's true. You're spiritually alive when your passion is increasing. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. It's kind of easy to lose. I was preaching in New Zealand, and you know, I come from New Zealand originally, and it's a little country, and I don't know, people aren't known in church for being all that enthusiastic. Nice people, good Christians, but you know, it's, I can say it because I come from there. New Zealand's a great place to come from. But I still love the All Blacks. Anyway, I'm preaching in this church. The pastor's a guy called John Cameron. I'm at their conference just a couple of months ago, and the place was alive. I mean, the front row, I'd hardly said anything. They're standing up and they were cheering me on, and it didn't seem false. It didn't seem fake. It just seemed genuine and authentic. And so the whole place, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to sack my front row in Australia and hire this front row because they were so alive and enthusiastic. And so I says to John, the pastor, afterwards, I said, you know, how is it you get Kiwis to respond like that? That's what he said. He said, well, I guess I'm like that. It's the way I've always been. And so it's the way the church is. And that's the impact spiritual life has. We actually affect the world around and about us. Your fiery enthusiasm can infiltrate your family, can infiltrate every part of your life. Oh, I love being around people who are spiritually alive. Not just staying alive. Oh, but spiritually alive. Amen. So number five, with 55 seconds to go, you are spiritually alive when spiritual boldness trumps personal inadequacy. Acts chapter 18, verse 26, about Apollos, he preached with power in the meeting place. Do you know that word power means to carry out the goal despite resistance? So here's Apollos preaching with power. And power is carrying out the goal despite resistance. When we preach the gospel, there's going to be some resistance. When you stand up for Jesus, like Charlotte said earlier, there's going to be some resistance. But when our personal inadequacy is trumped by our spiritual boldness, it's a sign that we're spiritually alive. And I do think that God can give you a holy boldness. In Acts chapter 4, the New Testament church, they were being opposed and persecuted, and they're praying, God, grant us boldness that we may speak your word fearlessly. And it says a couple of verses later that with great power, they gave witness to the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Great power, great grace. And that's what grace often does. It's God's enabling power. And it allows us to live beyond our own shyness, our own inferiority, our own inadequacies, and live with a holy boldness. I'm going to finish with this one. You're spiritually alive when there's a genuine humility and a lack of pride happening in your life. And a church is spiritually alive when there's a genuine humility and a lack of pride within the heart and within the life of the church. I'm going to read finally verse 26. Apollos was accurate in everything he taught about Jesus up to a point. But he only went as far as the baptism of John. He preached with power in the meeting place. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and told him the rest of the story. Priscilla and Aquila, what do you want? What do you want? What are you trying to say? My church has to put up with this every week. And they keep coming back, so I guess that's a good sign. Hey, listen to this. This is what happens. Remember, he is a learned, educated orator, trained in the at Oxford, trained, you know, he's a scholar. And then he's reached a point, he knows up to the baptism of John. But this is what I love. There's a couple of believers whose names were Aquila and Priscilla. And they're what were called the artisan class, kind of like a lot of us. In other words, they were tradespeople, they were carpenters, they were woodworkers, they were fishermen, they were tent makers. And so Priscilla and Aquila were just tent makers, humble believers. And yet, when they took Apollos aside, he was open and humble enough, even though he's a great orator and educated person, to receive from humble followers of Jesus. And I love this, by the way. You'll love this one, Charlotte. You know, the Bible, well, the one I just read now, talked about Aquila and Priscilla. A lot of the versions, translations, they changed it, put Aquila's name first. But in the original, Priscilla's name comes first. I kind of like that because it messes with people's theology. It was Priscilla and then Aquila who were teaching this great man the word of God and taking them deeper. I think that's a good little point right there, just to mess people up a little bit. Amen. Thank God for the women. Thank God that God uses women in Jesus' name. Anyway, are we still humble enough to receive from those who maybe are not in the same station of life as we are? Humility is a great sign of spiritual life. When a church, people are using their gifts, they're using them for the glory of God. They're spiritually alive. A church, when it's growing in the word, we just haven't reached a point in our spiritual life. You are spiritually alive when you're not just growing in the word, but becoming nasty and mean. You are growing in the ways of the Lord. Amen. You know the beauty and the power of Jesus Christ. You are spiritually alive when you have that fervency of spirit, fiery and enthusiasm. You are spiritually alive when whatever inadequacy you may feel, a spiritual boldness is your portion, and you live with that holy boldness. And amen, you're able to live with the power that keeps pushing towards the goal even when it's resisted. You're spiritually alive when you have genuine humility in your life. No matter how well God's used you, you got this genuine humility in your life. Let's be spiritually alive, not just staying alive, spiritually alive. Let's dive into the depths. Let's dive. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dived into the depths of God, bringing out all that God planned all along. Amen. Spiritual life. We want to be growing in it. Can you say amen?
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that message by Pastor Brian. That was an incredible word about being spiritually alive. And now it's time to apply it. Ask Jesus, can he help you be more alive? Where do you need his life? Do you need it in your marriage or with your children or with your teenagers? Wherever you need it, Jesus is here to give us life more abundantly. I know it's going to be a better week ahead because of what Jesus can bring to you. And we would love to hear from you. If you want prayer for any personal challenge, go ahead, send us an email at hello@livechurchhome.com, or even better, visit one of our four campuses, Leeds, Bradford, Belfast, or Warsaw, Poland. We would love to see you very soon.